This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. ثم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح وبعد. He went to the battlegrounds of Uhud and he offered two rak'ah. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that spot for the forgiveness of his brothers and his companions and his sisters and anyone who had suffered or harmed or been lost that day. The next day he went to Jannat al-Baqi'a, the graveyard of the companions in Medina. And he took his servants from his house, Muwayhiba. And he went and he sat there at the grave and he wept. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his companions. And then on the way home, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered an extremely powerful headache. His illness, his fever, which alayhi salatu wasalam eventually carried him until his return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, on that way home, he went to his wife's house, Maymuna radiallahu anha, and he asked her, he said, which house am I going to go to next? Because the Prophet ﷺ, as an amazing husband that he was, ﷺ, he used to alternate nights at his wives' houses so that he would treat them justly. And she picked up from that hint, as he was suffering from this fever. Maymuna radiallahu anha picked up from that he wanted to be at the house of his beloved wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And so she told him to go to her house, and he couldn't even, ﷺ, walk on his own two feet. He needed the help of Abbas and Ali radiallahu anhumah to walk to his own house. And they put him in her house, in the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha. And his body was so hot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his body was so hot that he asked his companions and his family to put him in a tub filled with water so that it would cool his temperature down. Finally, when his temperature had cooled down, after being soaking in this tub of water, because his body was so burning up, he went and he sat and he took an imamah, a cloth, and he tied it around his head really tight. Because you know when you get a headache and you just need to take away the pressure, so he applied all this pressure to it so that the pain would subside a little bit. And so he went to the minbar of the masjid, much like this. He went to the pulpit and he sat in front of his companions, much like you all are sitting today. And he said, do I owe anyone anything? He said, do I owe anyone any money? And one person stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, you owe me 3 dirhams, right? Which is not a lot of money back then. And the Prophet Muhammad, he said, someone pay him back from the savings. And he said, have I hit any of you? Have I ever struck any of you on your back? He said, if I have, then he lifted up his own shirt and he said, come and take what is your right. Come and strike me on my back. And no one got up, which shows you what about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was not an abuser. He was not someone who used to hit. He wasn't a ruler either of a community or of a household through physical strength. And then he said, have I ever offended any one of you? Have I ever hurt any of your feelings? Have I ever made you feel insignificant? Have I made you feel less than what you are? Have I ever hurt any of you emotionally? And no one responded. Because as Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make us feel as if we were each his favorite person. So whenever he encountered any one of us, we were convinced 100% that we were the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's favorite. So much so that Sayyidina Amr, he went to, in front of all the companions, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, who is your most favorite person from the people? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in front of everyone, because remember, Amr is thinking that the Prophet's going to say, you Amr, you're my favorite, because that's what he believed. He honestly felt the Prophet loved him the most. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, Aisha. And all the companions were kind of like, wow, well, you just got treated, right? And he goes, no, Rasulullah, from al-Rijal, from the men. Like, obviously your wife is your favorite, but from the men, who's your favorite? And he said, Abuha, her father. So the interesting point that we're taking away here is that the Prophet ﷺ had this ability, this talent, to be able to make everyone feel like they were his favorite. No one felt as if the next person was more beloved to the Prophet ﷺ than him. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And so, he never made anyone feel inferior, ever. And then he left the pulpit and he went back to the house, the apartment of his wife Aisha, which was right next door. And he laid back down and he was still suffering from his fever, alayhi salatu wasalam. So much so that the temperature was so hot and the pain was so strong that he would go in and out of consciousness. And one day, they were waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to lead prayer. And he was getting ready for prayer. And he began to get up to go and lead the jama'ah for prayer, and he fainted. And when he came to, the first question he asked his wife was, had the believers prayed? Had the faithful brothers and sisters, had they performed the salah? And Aisha radiallahu anha said, no, Ya Rasulullah, they're waiting for you. And he tried to get up again, and he fainted. And that is when he appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anha to go and lead the prayer. Now there's an interesting story about Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. And this shows us something about the love for the Prophet ﷺ, which is today's khutbah topic. And I know that we hear this khutbah a lot. We hear about loving Allah, loving the Prophet. But today we're going to talk about something really interesting. We're talking about the Prophet ﷺ's last days. We're talking about the last days that he spent, ﷺ, his blessed body spent on this earth with us. And the advices that he gave us. If you only had one day left, forget that. If you only had 1 hour left, what would your Facebook status update be? What would you tweet? What would you tell your loved ones? What advices would you give those people who look to you for advice if you only had a little bit of time left? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ only had a small amount of time left, and he knew this. He knew that he was about to return to his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so he gave us a certain list of advices, and today we're going to talk about these advices because these are the last pieces of advice that he left us with. Thus, they have a high importance in our lives. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam later that day was sitting on the pulpit again, and he was giving the companions advices. He was telling them, don't oppress people. The people that work for you, don't oppress them. Treat your women kindly. Do not be mean. Do not be negligent of your women. And then he stood and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given one of his servants the choice between that which is on this earth and that which is near to Allah. Allah has given one of his servants that a choice, right? Between that, those riches and the fame and the wealth that is on this earth and that which is near to Allah. And he said, his servant has chose that which is near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one in the audience knew who this servant was except for one person. And that was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He burst into tears. He started crying because he knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about himself. He knew that that servant was a Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew that the Prophet was saying, my time is almost done. My time on this earth, the end of it is near. No one else knew that. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu started crying because his friend hadn't even left him yet. But just the thought of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving him caused him to cry. You know, there's a famous story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to give khutbah on a tree stump that used to be his minbar. And the companions felt as if the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam should have something more honorable as a member, not just a tree stump. And so one week they built him a proper, like mihrab and a member that he used to give Jum'ah from. And then he started giving the khutbah from them, from that place, in Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu. And the companions said, this is in Sahih Bukhari, the companions said, Wallahi, we heard the tree, it was crying. The tree was crying because it missed the proximity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It just missed him. And the Prophet ﷺ had to get off of the minbar and go and pat the tree and console it. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says a very interesting statement about this story. He says that if a tree, which is hard, if you go outside and you feel the bark of a tree, it's rough, it's tough, it's difficult. If a tree had the emotion to cry because it missed the Prophet ﷺ, then what is, he says, what is the state of the heart of mankind that the Prophet ﷺ is not 14 feet, but 1400 years away from us? Do we feel sad that we miss him? Do we sometimes, maybe we don't get moved to tears. Not everyone has to sit and cry all the time. This isn't the way of the companions. But do we at least feel in our heart sadness that I wish I knew this man? All these great stories of this amazing person. I wish I was able to spend one time with him. One time they were going out to battle, and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was lining up the companions with a stick. He's walking by them and he's tapping them with a stick. And one of the companions, when the Prophet ﷺ lined them up, right, and he wasn't hitting them, he was just kind of like, you know, using a stick to line them. You know, when you take a ruler and you line people up. So he was doing that. And he tapped one of the stomach of one of the companions. And the companion like keeled over, was like, yeah, Ya Rasulullah, why'd you hit me so hard? And the companions were like, dude, he didn't hit you that hard. Like, he hit all of us the same way. It didn't hurt that much. Or like, calm down. And the companion was like, no, he hit me. I want my revenge. Right? An eye for an eye. You strike me, I get to strike you back. And all the companions were like, chill, dude. You're asking to hit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Like, that's not cool. And the Prophet goes, no. He's right. If I struck him, then he has the right to strike me. And all the companions are like, what is going on right now? Right? They were shocked. And the Prophet said, no, he has the right. He said, he has the right. So the Prophet lifted up his shirt and gave him the stick and said, strike me. And the man took the stick and he wound up and then he dropped the stick and he hugged the waist of the Prophet and he kissed his stomach and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we're about to go to battle. I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again. This is the kind of love they had for him. A lot of us might feel weirded out. This is true brotherly love. This is a love that someone has for someone that they really cherish in their life. The priority of this person in their life is so high. He said, I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again, Ya Rasulullah. And my love for you is so much that I wanted the last thing that I touched on this earth to be you. And so the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's sitting in his apartment in the lap of his wife. In between her neck and her chest, as the hadith says, and his head is burning up. And so he tells everyone that this is the state, this is what's going to happen. The companion has chosen, and only Abu Bakr gets it. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he's narrating this, and he says, none of us knew what he was talking about. But when Abu Bakr started crying, some of us started realizing that the Prophet ﷺ was talking about himself, and so we started crying. And the Prophet ﷺ returned back to his house, and that was the last time he would ever leave his apartment, ﷺ. And Aisha radiallahu anh was putting his head on her lap, and she was stroking her fingers through his hair. And she was rubbing his forehead. Look at the love. Look at the love between a husband and wife. This love is not just given. It's not just, it's not just, for example, like just automatic. This love is the love of a couple that really spent time investing in each other and loving each other. That's why she's sitting there with his head on her lap. Because he spent his entire life loving her so much that she didn't want him to leave. Some couples nowadays, when you say, you know, your spouse might, you know, get hurt or pass away, there's no emotion of fear or shock or anger. It's just like, good, right? But Aisha was like, she couldn't bear the thought of her husband leaving her. And so she wanted him, she's holding him close. And she's rubbing her fingers through his hair to give him some semblance of relief in this very painful time. And it was a Monday morning. And the companions, they thought that the Prophet ﷺ was going to join them again. None of them thought he was going to pass away, except for a couple few select companions. Because he opened his curtain and he looked out at the companions as they were gathering for prayer, and he smiled at them. He smiled at them because he saw that these people that he spent years and years and years with training them and teaching them and loving them, they were assembling the prayer on their own. They were practicing this faith on their own. They were proving, after all those practices, it was game time, and they were proving that all the practices had worked and they were doing well in the game, right? Like all the jump shot drills, all the layup drills, it was all working, it was all clicking. They were all about to pray together. The Prophet ﷺ had so much happiness at that time, and that was the last time that a lot of the companions saw him. after that morning, the Prophet ﷺ laid back down and he began to go in and out of consciousness again. And his daughter Fatima came in. His daughter Fatima came in crying because she saw her father was in a very, very feeble state, in a very weak, painful state. And she went up to him and she was crying, and he called her over and said, "Yeah, Fatima." And he brought her close and he whispered to her, he said, "Don't cry. Don't worry. Because after today, your father is not going to be suffering anymore." And she realized what he was saying and she began to cry even more. And then he brought her closer and he whispered in her ear something that made her laugh. He said, "Yeah, Fatima." He said, How would you feel if I told you that you're going to be joining your father soon in Jannah, in paradise, and you're going to be the queen of all the women there?" And she began to laugh because the thought of being reunited with her father. Remember, to the companions and to the wives, he was a prophet, but he was also one of them. He was also one of them. They loved him for his prophecy, but they also loved him for his character. So when she starts laughing and when she starts saying that she's excited to be reunited with him, it's not purely out of the fact that he's a prophet. It's because she loves her dad. She loves her father. So she begins to laugh and he gives her the good news that she'll be joining him soon. And this prophecy came true. She died shortly after. And then his friends came in, Abu Bakr and Omar, and they begin to start talking about, should we write things down that he's saying? And they begin to discuss and have an argument. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Don't argue. I don't like seeing you argue." And then later that day, everyone leaves and he's there with his wife Aisha. And Aisha's brother, Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr, walks in, bin Abi Bakr, and he walks in and he has a siwak. And the Prophet ﷺ, his eyes look at the siwak and he can't even speak now because he's so weak from the fever. He motions for the siwak. He says, "I want the siwak." And Aisha asks, "Can I please have it?" And he says, "Yes." And so she wets it with her own mouth. And she gives it to him. And the Prophet ﷺ, with surprising energy, starts cleaning his own teeth. Starts cleaning his own teeth. And then he finishes cleaning. And after a few moments, he quotes an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who will be in Jannah and they will be joined with the prophets and the shuhada and the salihin. And he says, "What a great gathering of people this will be." And then he whispers three times under his breath, "Ila rafiq al-a'la, ila rafiq al-a'la, ila rafiq al-a'la," to the most high companion, to the most high companion, to the most high companion. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that she felt his arm become limp and she felt his head become heavy. And those were the last breaths that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ took on this last day of his life. Now the Prophet ﷺ in these last days, he gave us some advices. And the story is very emotional. When you read it and you think about it, you begin to miss him. But as we said in the beginning of the khutbah, what are the last advices that he parted with us? Because if you only had a day left to tell the people that you loved something that you wanted to tell them, you would make sure it's the most important thing. You know, you wouldn't call someone over and be like, "I never liked your dinners," right? Like, that's not something you would say. You would call them closer and say, "Be good to people. Give them the parting advice of your deathbed." And this is what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did. Till his last breath, he was concerned about us. And so I think it serves him right, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should be concerned about what he told us. In the second khutbah, inshaAllah, we're going to discuss these advices and how to practically implement them in our lives, inshaAllah. أَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. The first advice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we see if we look through the story of the last few days of his life, one of the first advices that we see that he gave was his own action of going to the minbar, going to the pulpit, and asking people if he had ever wronged them. And there are three ways in which he asked people. Number one, he said, "Have I ever physically harmed you?" Number two, "Have I ever emotionally harmed you?" And number three, "Have I ever financially borrowed and not paid back?" These are three methods of oppression that we must be very vigilant in our lives. Can't take them lightly. Can't take them lightly. Number one is physical. Obviously, we know we shouldn't hit people. And financial, we know that we shouldn't remain in debt. It's not a good thing. We should always clear our debts. But the one that I want to highlight for us today is emotional abuse. Emotional pain. Some of us feel sometimes like making fun of people is a way of showing love and affection. But wallahi, it's not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Hujurat, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم. And then he says the same thing about the women. He says, don't make fun of people. Don't call each other bad nicknames. If Allah is saying this in the Quran, not to make fun of someone, then don't you think that generally speaking, people get hurt? We think, no, they won't get affected. He knows that I love, up until a point. But making fun of people is very, very rough, especially spouses. You know, a lot of us, if we're married, some people, they develop like weird nicknames for their spouses that are actually really offensive, right? Like fatso and stuff like that. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he had a nickname for his wife. It was Aish. It was a cute little nickname for her to show his love. Her name was Aisha. He used to call her Aish. Yeah, Aish. Just to show his love for her. He didn't call her any mean nicknames. He didn't call her any negative names that made her feel, or she never called him any names that made him feel less of a husband, or he never made her feel like less of a wife. No. The nicknames were always positive, always loving. So we have to be very careful about emotional abuse, especially within the family, especially with our friends. Because it's interesting, we always abuse the people that are closest to us. It's very ajib, it's very interesting. Like the people who we don't know, we are very cautious about not offending them. Someone that works at a restaurant, someone that works at a store, we're always like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bump into you. But you bump into your mother at home, right, as she's cooking, and like you bump into her and she burns herself, you're like, oh, watch out, right? Why don't you say sorry, you know? Or you bump into your dad as he's carrying something in, you're like, Dad, move, I'm trying to go, right? I have to go update my Facebook status again. But when we bump into someone at the store, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, can I buy something? Like, did I offend you? We have to treat the people closest to us the best, right? That doesn't mean that we treat other people badly, no. But it's very strange to treat those who are closest to you with lack of respect. We need to make sure we don't emotionally abuse people. This is one of the advice of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One other thing that was very interesting that he said, alayhi salam, is when he knew that he was going to pass away, he said to the believers, he said, I fear not for all of you returning back to polytheism. He says, I'm not scared that you all are going to commit shirk. That's not my fear. He was talking to the Muslims. He said, I know you guys came from that. I know you guys came from shirk and kufr. I understand. But you know what? I'm not scared about that. But he said, you know what I am scared of? I'm scared that you're going to fight over money. I'm scared that money is going to become your number one goal. You know that phrase they say, money over everything? Allah is al-A'la. There's no money over everything. Allah is over everything. Jalla wa ala. He says, I'm scared that you're going to fight over money. And the commentators of hadith, they say that not just money, but what comes with money? Power, fame, status. So they say, you're not only going to fight over money, but you'll fight over popularity. You'll fight over status. Even in Muslim organizations and families even. People want to be the top, you can't say dog, but the top cat, right? They want to be like the top one, the best person. He says, this is what I fear for you, that your heart will become disillusioned by all of these dunya objects, that you're not going to go back to shirk and kufr like directly. You're not going to say that I leave Allah, either billah, may Allah protect us. But what you will do is you'll say, I'd rather get that cash, I'd rather get that cream over worshiping or praying Maghrib. That's what he was scared about. That's what he was concerned about. So this advice is very telling. Because if we look honestly and reflect, even in ourselves, we have to be very vigilant and careful over this sickness. Another point that I'd like to make, inshallah, another point that I'd like to make, and one more that we're going to finish up, is the fact that Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anh, and the fact that the tree even began to cry for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, began to weep, shed tears because they missed him. And he was still there. We said this before. He's not even here with us. Do we feel sadness? You know, a lot of people, they come and they'll say, I've read about having dreams about the Prophet, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us him in our dreams, inshallah. I mean, I've read about having dreams about him. I've read about following his sunnah. I've read about following, you know, the companions that are closest to him. And I want to do all these things. But you know what always supersedes all of that? If you want to see the Prophet, if you want to love the Prophet, you have to learn about him. How can you see the Prophet in one of your dreams if you don't know what he looks like? Right? How can you be like him if you don't know how he was? How can you love him if you don't know how he was lovable? You fall in love with the Prophet because you know how he treated people. That people would abuse him and he would respond with a smile. People would come up to him and neglect him and he would respond by taking care of them. You fall in love with a character like that. You fall in love with someone like that. And the Prophet was, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qalam, he says, you are on top of good character. So when you study and learn about the Prophet, you have no choice. Your heart surrenders. It says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. So in order to love him and have that same reaction that Abu Bakr had, or have the same reaction that even a tree had, we have to learn about the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to study him. We have to learn about him. And I know that you guys have classes here with Sheikh Jamal and other great scholars, Sheikh Muslim Apermal, great people. Take benefit, inshaAllah ta'ala, and study from them. The last but not least is if you examine something that's very interesting, you'll find a great advice for each and every one of us. And all these advices I'm giving are not for you. I'm not like standing up here. No, it's for everyone, inshaAllah. And that is, look at the situation that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ passed away in. Who was he surrounded by? He was surrounded by his wife. His daughter came in, sad. His friends were upset and distraught. When he passed away, Abu Bakr Siddiq walked in and said, "Bi abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah." He said, "May my mother and father be given for your sake." And then he kissed his forehead of his friend, of his brother. How many of us can say today with confidence that if we passed away, all of our family and friends and everyone would be sad? You know, Bilal, the Mu'adhin Bilal, you know, he couldn't even call the adhan anymore because whenever he said, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah," he used to break down in tears. Do our friends have that kind of love for us? You know, he was being held in the lap, in the chest of his wife, Aisha radiallahu an. How many of us can say, without a doubt, certainly, that our wife would spend days holding us if we were passing away? But this didn't just come overnight. The way that the Prophet Muhammad SAW treated these people in his life led to the situation that he was found in when he passed away. He treated his wife well. He treated his friends well. He made them feel loved. So that way when he came at the end of his life, who was he surrounded by? The people that he made feel loved. You know, Ibn Ata'ullah, a very famous scholar, says that good endings are signs of good beginnings. That if someone has a good ending, that's a sign that they were good in the beginning. And so you see, the Prophet ﷺ's ending was the best of endings, surrounded by family, going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shows you how good his whole life was, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, enabled us to copy his life and the lives of those who copy him until the end of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all a husnul khatima, a good ending. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all amongst those who will be joined with the Prophet ﷺ and will enter Jannah with no hisab. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة